Yeah, good Mechayrev. Today's daf is Zvachim daf Samach Aleph. We are holding on daf Samach on the days, a few lines before the end of the page. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Henry Olinsky, Lezech Nishmas, his father-in-law, whose yard site is today, Chaim Abba Ben Yosef, and Shemesh Rebbe Aliyah, and also Lezech Nishmas Rebbetzin Pesha Yenta Weiss, the Rebbetzin of Rav Asher Weiss, whose neshama also should have an aliyah, and we thank again Henry very much for the sponsorship. So we're holding on daf samach on the days, and we're about to discuss two brises, that there seems to be a steer between two brises, whether Basar Kachim became pasul when they disassembled the Mishkan, because we're in the middle of a discussion about the Mizbeach being pagum, and the great chiddush that the Gemara had, that when the Mizbeach is pagum, you're not allowed to eat kachim kalim. So the Gemara is going to have a stira between two brises. What about if the Mishkan was disassembled and they were in transit? Are you allowed to eat kachim during that time? And the Gemara is going to have three different ways to resolve that potential stira between the two brises. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether they were still using Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach in Mishkan Shiloh. How long did they hang on to the same Mizbeach? Did they switch out a Mizbeach Nechoshes for a Mizbeach Avanim? And we're going to have conflicting indicators about what exactly happened with that. And continuing on the theme of Mizbeach, which is what the whole daf is about, the Gemara is going to discuss the size of the Mizbeach and why it is that the Mizbeach had to be expanded during the times of Bayis Sheni. You would think that as far as the Beis HaMikdash was concerned, expansion would be the furthest thing from their mind during the times of Bayis Sheni, because during the times of Bayis Rishon, they had lots and lots of people. During the times of Bayis Sheni, there were much fewer people, so why would they need a bigger Mizbeach during the times of Bayis Sheni? So the Gemara is going to have a couple of possibilities as to why that expansion was necessary during the times of Bayis Sheni. So we are up to Ki Salik Ravin, which is about 8-9 lines before the end of the page. Last real line is Amra. So it says Gemara, Ki Salik Ravin, when Ravin went to Eretz Yisrael, Amra L'Shmaita Kamed Rabbi Yirmiya, he said in front of Rabbi Yirmiya, the Chiddush of Abaye, that you're not allowed to eat Kachim Kalim when the Mizbeach is Pogum. That as long as the Mizbeach is Pogum, the Kachim Kalim cannot be eaten. So Amar, Bavloi Tipshois, Rabbi Yirmiya reacted in a very negative way to this. He said, these foolish Babylonians, Amtul Diasvi Ba'arach HaShucha, because they dwell in a dark land, Amri Shmaita de Mechashcha. They say dark things, meaning what Abaye is saying is totally incorrect, and probably because he's from Bavel, he's saying these things that are totally incorrect. It's not true that you're not allowed to eat Kachim Kalim when the Mizbeach is Pogum. The Ritva writes in Yuma Daf Nun Zayin, in the name of the Rambam, that Rabbi Yirmiya is Lushitas over here, because Rabbi Yirmiya is one of the Darshans in Sanhedrin Daf Chav Dalid, that when the Pasuk says, B'machshakim o'shiveni b'masay olam, that Zeh Talmud Bavli, that Talmud Bavli is called Machshakim in the Choshech, because they weren't so clear in the reasons of the Mishnayos like they were in Eretz Yisrael. But, then says the Ritva, you know, it's hard to paint with such broad strokes that in Bavel it was this way and Eretz Yisrael is that way. We're talking about centuries of time where there was Torah learning going on in both Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. So the Ritva says it changed a little bit over history, and not in every generation was it like this in Bavel. It was in the days of Rabbi, Rav Yosef, Abaye, and Rava, there were gzeru shmad against the Jewish people in Bavel. The Gemara makes that clear in Bamitzia Peivav, in Chulin Memvav, and that's why Rabbi Yirmiya says this. But after Torah became stronger in Bavel, to the point that in the days of Rav Ashi, the Gemara Sanhedrin Lama Vav says, Mimos Rebbe Yad Rav Ashi Lematzinu Torah Gedula B'makom Echad, so then Bavel was stronger than Eretz Yisrael in learning. The Netziv in his Hakdamah, his commentary to the Shiltos, suggests that no, it's the Choshech of Bavel that Dafka made Bavel stronger in learning, because it took more Amelus in order to sort of build up the Sugya on your own. So he suggests it's just a totally different style of learning. That in Eretz Yisrael there was a certain amount of siyata d'shmaya in the learning. So there was a certain amount of clarity. There was no choshech. You could see everything clearly. But, you know, I walk into a room and the light is on, so I could see the room. I know what's going on. But if I have to feel around in the dark, so there's a lot more nuance that I'll pick up on when I'm feeling around in the dark and when the light is not so good, if I'm going very slowly and carefully throughout the room. So he says that's the difference between the learning in Eretz Yisrael, learning in Bavel. And that's why if you open up a Talmud Yerushalmi, you don't have like 10 blocks between one Mishnah and the next Mishnah. You have a Mishnah, a paragraph, next Mishnah, a paragraph, next Mishnah. Whereas in Talmud Bavli, you find that a lot of tangential discussions and there's a lot more work that seems to need to be done. And that's how the Nitziv explains the Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos, where the Gemara says that Bnei Eretz Yisrael are stronger than the Bnei Bavel in learning, but someone who goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael is the strongest. Why someone goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? Adrabah, I don't think it's better to be in Eretz Yisrael the whole time. He says, no, because if he was in Bavel, he was trained to sort of build it on his own. And then he goes to Eretz Yisrael, and he has that enhanced Siyata D'Shmaya in his learning, that's going to be even greater. But the Ritva opens the door over here for this discussion of what it means that in Bavel they were in Choshech, that there was this darkness that enveloped them in Bavel. But that was just Rabbi Yirmiyah's way of expressing that he disagrees with what Abaye was saying. So Rabbi Yirmiyah, how does he prove that he's correct, that in fact you're allowed to eat kachim kachim even when the Mizbeach is kachim kalim rather, even when there's no Mizbeach or when the Mizbeach is nifgam? Because there's a stira in Brises, and the way to be miyashid that stira will indicate to us that this is in fact true. Lo shmielu hadetanya, what, do they not know the Brisa that tells us that b'shas siluk masaos, that when they would take apart the Mishkan and they would move the Mizbechos in order to travel in the midbar, kachim nifsalin, kachim becomes pasul. When we see the maskaras Gemara, Rashi points out it means kachim kachim become pasul ba'achila when they would move. V'zavim u'mitzoraim mishtalchim chutz l'machitza, and even though they removed the mishkan, the kedusha of the machanos still remained, and therefore a zav who had to be sent outside of machne shechina and machne leviyah still had to be sent outside of machne shechina and machne leviyah. We don't say that, you know, once the focal point of the Kedusha is gone, so the whole Kedusha Samachnos is gone. No, the Kedusha Samachnos is retained, even as they traveled. And the Mitzora, who has to be sent Chutz L'machna Shechina, Machna Leviyah, and Machna Yisrael, Chutz L'Sholosh Machnos, so he still has to be Chutz L'Sholosh Machnos. So it must be that the reason the Kachi Kachi becomes Pasul is not because it was Yotze Chutz L'Mechitzaso, right? Normally Kachi Kachi can't leave the Azara, can't leave Machna Shechina. So you might say, of course Kachi Kachim, when they're moving the Mikdash, is going to become Pasul. There's no Machne Shechina anymore. So by definition, it's a Pasul Yotze. It went Chutz L'Mechitzaso. So says Rashi over here, explaining this line of the Gemara, explaining this Braisa, that no, the Kedusha Machne Shechina is still there, just like the Kedusha Machne Levi is still there, and just like the Kedusha Machne Yisrael is still there. The Kedusha Machne Shechina is still there. The reason it's Pasul, the Kachi Kachim is Pasul, is because of the Mizbeach, that the Mizbeach is Ne'akar, not because the Machnos don't exist. That's what that's how Rashi at least seems to understand the Gemara. There's a discussion what forced Rashi into that explanation. Tosos disagrees. Tosos asks, and in Menachos and Daf Tzadi Hey, the Gemara seems to say that the Psul is a Psul Yotzei, and the Machne Shechina is Batal at the time of the Masa'os. Maybe not the Machne Leviyah, maybe not the Machne Yisrael, but Machne Shechina is different than the Machne Leviyah and Machne Yisrael. Machne Shechina is more likely a function of Mishkan, whereas Machne Leviyah and Machne Yisrael may not be a function of Mishkan. It may just be a function of the setup. Okay, V'tani Idach, but then there's another Braisa. And the other Braisa tells us, B'shnei Mekomos Kachim Ne'achalim, that the Din of Achilles Kachim B'Mishkan has two different possibilities of how it plays out as far as where you eat the kachim. One of them is that it's the classic case that you eat kachim in exactly the spot in the where you're supposed to eat it when everything is going normally, when the Mishkan has been makomo. And then there's a second place of eating kachim, and that is when they traveled. When they traveled, you could eat kachim as well, even when the Mizbeach was not bimakomo. So apparently it's a steer between the two brises. First brisa assumes that basar becomes possible when they were moving the Mishkan. Second brisa seems to assume that no, b'shnei mekomos, that there's a second circumstance that you're still eating kachim, and that is even when it was traveling. My love, habakachim kachim, habakachim kalim. Ah, so what's the only way to be miyam? Of these two brises, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, it must be that the first brise is talking about kachim kachim, and they taka become pasul when they take apart the Mishkan, but kachim kalim remains kosher even when they take apart the Mishkan. Hashanah, and therefore Kachim Kalim can be eaten even when there is no Mizbeach at that moment, against Abaye, who said Kachim Kalim are possible when there is no Mizbeach. You see over here, the Kachim Kalim are perfectly kosher when there is no Mizbeach. Now, why would we be mechalik between? So this is why Rabbi Yirmiyahu disagrees, but why would we be mechalik between Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim? I understand it's a convenient way to be miyashiv the stira, but is there any reason to be mechalik in halacha between the two? So the Rishonim discuss over here, Shittim Gvetzas points out that the reason we're mechalik is because by Kachim Kachim there's a limud to passel them without a mizbech, by Kachim Kalim there's no limud to passel them. So ask Shittim Gvetzas, but why is that a kasha on Abaye? Abaye, it's not on Abaye, was somech on Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, you have to say that a bechor is hukash besar l'dama, right? That was Rabbi Shmuel's whole drasha, that we make this hakish between the basar and the dam of the bechor. So it must be that you need a mizbeach b'shas achilas habasar, because at the time of the matan dam, obviously you need a mizbeach. So once you have that hekish of dam to basar by bechor, so of course you're going to come to that conclusion. That's Rabbi Shmuel, that's the Tana. That's not Abaye's fault. So Shittim Gvetzas explains that Rabbi Yirmiyahu holds that since there's a brisa that's explicit, that Kachim Kalim is eaten even when there's no mizbeach, it must be that Rabbi Shmuel would not apply the din that he learns from that hekish by bechor to all Kachim Kalim. Maybe that's a special din that he only has by bechor. It was Abaye who went and extended that to all Kachim Kalim, right? We said yesterday that Rabbi Shmuel had said Yachol Yala Adam Meiser Sheni LiYerushalayim Yachlenu Bezman Hazeh, that you would think that you have to bring Meiser Sheni Bezman Hazeh to Yerushalayim, and he learned it from Bechor, that Bechor requires Avos Makom Meiser Ton Avos Makom Ma Bechorinu El Bifnei Abayis Av Meiserinu El Bifnei Abayis. So the to learn from Bechor to Meiser Sheni, yes, but maybe to learn from Bechor to all other Kachim Kalim, maybe not. I didn't mention yesterday, but it's interesting. Ruska Rav has an interesting biur. This idea that there's no Meiser Sheni eaten in Yerushalayim Bizman Hazeh, which is not really our topic right now, but it's just an interesting biur. The Ruska Rav is bothered why it is that in the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh we say Uvnei Yerushalayim, and then we say V'nochal Mipirya, that one day when Yerushalayim is rebuilt, we will eat from its fruits again. When V'rechala B'kdusha V'tara, we're going to be able to say brachos with kedusha and with tahara. So he says two problems. First of all, how are we hoping to one day eat the fruits of Yerushalayim? You're not, the Tosefta writes in Maseches Nagaim, and the Rambam paskens this way, in the 7th Perek of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that you're not allowed to plant trees in Yerushalayim. So they weren't allowed, in the old city of Yerushalayim, there's no planting trees. There shouldn't be any fruits of Yerushalayim. The Nochal Mipirya, when they build Yerushalayim, we're going to eat Mipirya. And he says also, this idea of Nevrechala B'Kedusha V'Tara, where do we find that a bracha has to be B'Kedusha V'Tara? Tahara. Those are unusual words, unusual terms to use for brachos. So Briska Rav suggests that what we're talking about is peros of Meiser Sheni. Those are the peros of Yerushalayim, not because they grow in Yerushalayim, because that's where they have to be eaten. So you eat them in Yerushalayim, and yes, peros of Meiser Sheni have to be eaten b'kedusha of Vitara. So that's the Menochal Mipriya. That's the kedusha of Vitara that peros of Meiser Sheni requires. But anyway, so back to our story over here, the Gemara is telling us that Rabbi Yirmiyahu disagreed with Abaye and thought that the only way to be miyashiv these two brises is to tell me that kachay kachim cannot be eaten when the Mishkan is in transit, when there's no mizbeach, but kachim kalim can be eaten even when the Mishkan was in transit. It's also interesting, why does he have to bring the first brisa to make the point? The second brisa is perfectly fine, right? The Tanya idach b'shnei makomos kachim nechalim. You see clearly that kachim could be eaten. Why do I care about kachay kachim? Abaye, Rabbi Yishmael, they weren't talking about kachay kachim. So why is that even an issue over here? Why does he have to bring the first brisa? So in the Sefer Mishmaros Kuhuna, he says, because without the first brisa, we would have said that b'shas hamasaos, even though the mizbeach was moved, it's not considered that there is no mizbeach. And therefore, it's not going to be a raya to a situation where the mizbeach is nifgam. Mizbeach in transit is different than a mizbeach that's broken. So I would have thought that a mizbeach that's in transit is considered that we still do have a mizbeach, and therefore, kachim kalim can be can be eaten. That's why Kachim Kalim can be eaten when the Mizbeach is in transit. But you see from the first price, so that when the Mizbeach is in transit, they're not allowed to eat Kachim Kachim. So apparently it is considered, from that first price, you see, apparently it is considered that the Mizbeach is gone, that there is no Mizbeach. Ah, once you have that, then the second price has so much more meaning, that Mizbeach in transit equals Mizbeach Shenifgam, and still you're allowed to eat Kachim Kalim. That's the Raya against Abaye. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, not a Raya. There's another way to resolve the stira between the two brises. The brisa that says that kachem becomes pasul when they took apart the mishkan, and the brisa that says that you're allowed to eat kachem when they took apart the mishkan, is also talking about kachem kalim. Velokasha, it's not a stira. Harabi Shmuel, the Harabanan. It's a machlokas tanayim. Whether in fact you're allowed to eat kachem kalim when they took apart the mishkan, the first brisa follows Rabbi Shmuel that, like we said, that Rabbi Shmuel learns from Bechor, which is Kachim Kalim, whereby Bechor we compare the basar of the karban to the dam of the karban, and therefore you're not allowed to eat the basar when there is no mizbeach, even if you don't have a problem with the dam. Because let's say you were zorik the dam, like we said yesterday, when there was a mizbeach, and you just have the basar left. So from Bechor we learned to all Kachim Kalim that it cannot be eaten when there is no mizbeach. So b'shasam asos Kachim Kalim becomes pasul. But Harabanan, the second brisa, is following the Shita of the Chachamim, that there is no hekish of basar to dam of Bechor, and therefore there's no makar to say that Kachim Kalim should not be eaten when there's no Mizbeach. So that's why the second brisa says, yeah, even when the Mishkan is traveling, you're allowed to eat Kachim Kalim. The Ibai Seimo, or a third possibility of how to be Miyashev, how to reconcile these two brisos without rejecting the Shita of Abaye, the Ibai Seimo, Havaha b'kache kachim. Maybe both prices are talking about kache kachim. First price makes perfect sense. When they were traveling, the Mizbeach was not bimakomo, so the basar becomes pasul, like we would assume. Umay b'shnei makomos, but you know what b'shnei makomos means? When the price says that kachim could be eaten b'shnei makomos, it does not mean that you're allowed to eat kachim both when there is a Mizbeach bimakomo and when the Mizbeach is traveling, when there's traveling. No, we're talking about where the Mizbeach, it's all talking about where the Mizbeach is b'makomo. V'shnei makomos means kodem she'amidu l'viyim es ha-mishkan, u'la'achar she'yifruku al-viyim es ha-mishkan. What do those words mean? Kodem she'amidu l'viyim es ha-mishkan sounds like it means before they ever put the Mishkan together. U'la'achar she'yifruku al-viyim es ha-mishkan sounds like it means after they take the Mishkan apart. So neither is talking about when the Mishkan is built, and what's the difference between before and after? Every before is also an after, no? Right? Each time they traveled, it was after the last time the Mishkan was, and before the next time. So that's why Rashi says over here, no. Kodem she'amidu l'viyim es ha-mishkan means when the Mishkan was omed kitikunam, when everything was in place. It does not mean before they erected the Mishkan. The lashon is lav dafka. It means when the Mishkan was built properly, and you have to say that because it's not shayich to talk about having a mizbeach that's banui, having a mizbeach in its place before they erected the Mishkan, because the seder of the masaos was that first the Bnei Gershom, Bnei Merari would encamp and build the Mishkan, and then the Bnei Kahas would get there, and they would have the Aron and the Mizbechos and the Klei Shares, and that's explicit in the Pesukim. So that's that first the Degel Yehuda and then Bnei Gershom Merari took apart the Mishkan and traveled, and then the Degel Reuven and then Bnei Kahas with the Aron and the Mizbechos and the Klei Shares, and that was so that when they encamped, it could be built in that order. So you're never going to have a Mizbeach put in place before you have a Mishkan put in place. So there's no way that there would be Mishana the Seder and somehow the Bnei Kahas would put up the Mizbeach before the Bnei Gershon would get there to put up the Mishkan, because the Gemara says on Daf Nun Hey that if you shech the carbon before the Levim or Ma'amid the Mishkan, the carbon is going to be pasul. So that's what Rashi writes over here in his first of his two interpretations over here, that it has to mean over here that while the Mishkan was in place and the Mizbeach was in place, everything was in place, because if it means the Mizbeach is in place, but the Mishkan is not in place, that just doesn't make sense. That wouldn't happen beforehand. That wouldn't happen before they erect the Mishkan. But then Rashi in the second Pshat suggests that maybe the Lashon of the Gemara is Dafka. And we're talking about a case where they messed up. They did it in the wrong order. And they set up the Mizbeach before they were mounted the Mishkan. And we had a Gemara on Daf Nun Hey that apostles of Karban that shechted before they're mounted the Mishkan. Yeah, that's Dafka by a Karban Shlamim, because it says Pesach Ol Moed, that you need an Ohel Banoi to be Pesach Ol Moed. And Pesach Hechel is opened up by Shar Kachim. We don't have such a din of Pesach Ol Moed. So that's what the Brice is telling me, that Kachim is Nechalim as long as the Mizbeach is Banoi. Tosos has Kashas on that, but those are the two interpretations that Rashi has. But that's a way to be Miyashiv the Brice. The Brice is not talking about when there's no Mizbeach. It's only talking about when there is a Mizbeach. And that's the only time you're allowed to eat kachim, when there is a mizbeach. The Brice is talking about both when there is a mishkan and when there is no mishkan. Na'achar shiyifrku halavien es ha-mishkan. That's the second situation when they took apart the krashe ha-mishkan and the mizbeach was still there. That was normal. That was kefi ha-seder. They would take apart the boards and the mizbeach was still there. So at that point, it's still mutter to eat kachim at that point. There's an interesting discussion Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein has in Chashukei Chemed over here, where he discusses a case of chayalim that are on a mission, and they have an opportunity to daven, and they have a Torah with them, so they have the opportunity to do Kriyas HaTorah, but they never know when they might be called, when the siren might go off or something, they might be called to leave. So can they start Kriyas HaTorah not knowing whether they're going to have to roll up the Sefer Torah and run in the middle? They may not be able to complete Kriyas HaTorah. So he says, if you're concerned about Bizayon Sefer Torah, that maybe they're going to open the Sefer Torah before they even read it, they're going to have to quickly close it. He says, there's no makom for a shayla over here. That's not an isser at all. The whole isser is Bizayon. The whole isser of rolling up the Torah before you read it is Bizayon HaTorah. He said, can you imagine a greater hod v'hadar for the Torah to show that even under such circumstances we're interested in reading from the Torah? There's absolutely no Bizayon of the Sefer Torah that people are interested lishtos b'tzamas tevareha, that even when on the run, and even when dealing under such circumstances, that they want to be kari from the Torah. So that there's no question. There's no issue. He says, but the real shail is, what if someone says a bracha and then they roll it up, then they have to go, and they didn't even read a single pasuk? Is it a bracha levatala? So should they maybe do a kriyas haTorah without a bracha because of bracha levatala? So he says an interesting thing. The Ritva writes in Maseches Chulin, what if a person washes netilas yadayim and then he says, I already had 3 carbs today. You know, my nutritionist told me I'm not allowed to have another carb. Decides he's not going to have bread anymore, but he already said a bracha of al netilas yadayim. So does the al netilas yadayim now become a bracha levatala? So the Ritva says, as long as he honest to goodness really wanted to eat bread at the time that he washed, that's fine. We don't force him to eat bread, even though he already washed, in order to avoid bracha levatala. It's not a bracha levatala. He made a bracha on a netila that at that time was a proper netila. So says Rav Zilberstein, maybe the same thing is true over here, that you make a bracha on the Torah, planning to read from the Torah, even if they have to quickly roll it up and run. It's not going to be a bracha levatala. You say like a member of Hatzalah or something is never allowed to say a bracha on the Torah because he might have a call where he's going to have to run out for bikuach nefesh. No, he's doing his best at that time. However, he points out that Achronim already disagreed, and they said that the Ritva is only talking about Netila Sidayim, because the Netila is actually finished. Meaning, Netila is a Hachana L'Suuda. This guy did the Hachana L'Suuda, and he's finished. The Suuda is not part of the mitzvah Netila. As opposed to, he says, like shechting a behema and deciding not to eat the behema. You can make a bracha ala shechita and then not eat the animal as long as you do the shechita. So over here, netila is like the hachana, it's like the shechita. So that's not a chashash of bracha levatala. Tosfos of Maseches Kiddushin, though, and Daf Lam Zayin and Beis, wonders why didn't Bnei Yisrael bring a Korban Pesach in the Midbar, except for 1 year, the entire time they were in the Midbar. So Tosfos gives the Teretz, but the Makna suggests different. The Makna says that based on our sugya, since the Gemara in Zvachim tells us that Kachi Kachim are Nifsal when they're Porik the Mishkan, when they take apart the Mishkan, because Iskash Basal Adam, so Kachim Kalim rather, it was because Iskash Basal Adam, so since they didn't know when they were going to be traveling, because of Ba'alos Ha'anan, you know, the cloud starts moving and you gotta go. So it could be that they're allowed to sheft Kachi Kachim because the Achil is not Ma'akev, the Kachi Kachim, but a Pesach, which is primarily for the sake of Achila, they weren't allowed to sheft because Shemit Yisa Anan, and then the Karban Pesach is going to become Pasul, and then they're not going to be able to do. So you see over there that maybe this, according to that Makna, maybe that was goof of the concern, that you don't want to start a process where you may not be able to finish it based on this halacha, based on based on this idea that they couldn't sheft the Karban Pesach. Shemit Yala Ha'anan, they're going to have to take apart the whole Mishkan, and even though there were only 42 Masa'os in the 40 years in the Midbar, they still had to be Choshesh, and Kol Shekein Chayalim, who are waiting to go out to Milchama at any time, that it's a reasonable concern. So he suggests that maybe this sugya plays a role in that analysis. That's not the complete analysis, there's more to say, but that's the suggestion that he puts forth. Okay, so says the Gemara further, what's the Hava Amina over here to say otherwise? Meaning we just said that you're allowed to eat Kachi Kachim as long as the Mizbeach is there, even if they already took down the Mishkan. So Mal Detema Ifsalu B'Yotzei, you might think that that's called that the Basra is Yotzei Chutzal Mechitzaso, because there are no mechitzos anymore. They just took down all the mechitzos. So even though there was a mizbeach there, you might think that it's psul yotze the basar. So kamash malan. That's why we're being told that no, there is no psul yotze. That it's not considered that it was yotze chutz leklayim, and you're allowed to eat it. I ve'ema hachinami. Sounds like a pretty compelling case to make that it's a psul yotze because there are no mechitzos. Amar krav v'nasa oal moed. Afal pisha nasa. Oh, Moed, who? A great chiddush, that even when it is traveling, and they took apart the Mishkan, the entire Machna Shechina is still considered Machna Shechina, and the Basar is not considered to be Yotzei Chutz L'Mechitzaso, but you still need the Mizbeach in place, because the Pasuk says, Eitzel HaMizbeach. But once the Mizbeach is uprooted, then the Kachi Kachim becomes Pasul, like that first Bryce told us. So when they're Oker the Mizbeach Mimukomo, at the time that they would travel, that would be considered as if there is no Mizbeach, and the same thing as a Mizbeach that is Pagum. So according to that, Kachim Kalim, according to Abaye, cannot be eaten b'shas ha-masos because there is no mizbeach. Yet, we're going to see later on in the Masechta that when they would re-encamp, you were allowed to eat the Kachim Kalim again, even though you were not allowed to eat them when they were moved. That's what Rashi writes in Daf Kuf Tazayin and Beis. So it's an interesting thing that while it's moving, there's no mizbeach. Okay, so you got to stop eating the kachim. But once they set up camp again and they rebuild the mizbeach, if it's within the time frame that the basar is still allowed to be nechal, so then you're allowed to eat it. Tosfos over there in Daf Kuf Tazayin says that even at the Shas HaMasos, you're allowed to eat the kachim kalim. Against Lechora, what Abai says over here, that you're not allowed to eat kachim kalim when there's no mizbeach, or you have to say that he's assuming that there's a difference, even the maskana somehow, between when the mizbeach is moving versus when the mizbeach is nifgam. When the mizbeach is moving, at least there is a mizbeach. When the mizbeach is nifgam, there is no mizbeach. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to move on to other discussions related to the mizbeach. First, historically, whether we changed mizbechos at a certain time, and then in terms of the size of the mizbeach. So first, Amar Rav Huna Marav, Mizbeach shel Shiloh shel Avanim haya. The Mizbeach that they had in Shiloh was a Mizbeach out of Avanim, even though in the Midbar, in Gilgal, it was made of eights. When they came to Shiloh, they made the Mizbeach out of Evan. The Tanya, we have a Braisa that supports this. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Mat Hamad Omer. Why, when the Pasuk tells us about the material from which they made the Mizbeach, Avanim, 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 Shalosh Pamim, does the Torah tell us three times it calls it Avanim? In Shemos Perchaf, it says, Vi Mizbach Avanim Tasa Lilo Sivnes and Gazis. And in Dvarim Chav Zayin, Vahaya Ba'avricham Aseyardin Uvanisa Shem Mizbach Lashem Elokecha Mizbach Avanim Lo Sanif Aleihem Barzel. And then again, in Dvarim Chav Zayin, Avanim Shleimos Tivnes Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. So Avanim, three times when it talks about the Mizbach. Echad Shel Shiloh, Vechad Shel Novi Givon, Vechad Shel Beis Olamim. In Shiloh, Novi Givon, and the Beis HaMikdash, which we refer to as the Beis Olamim, because when it's destroyed, there's no other heter anywhere else. Kedusha Shiloh is Yesh Acharei Heter for Bamos in the days of Novi Givon, but it's called Beis Olamim because that Kedusha is permanent and there is nowhere else that it's going to go after that, even though obviously the Beis HaMikdash has not, regrettably, has not been around throughout all of history since it's built. It's still called Beis Olamim. So those three places, in all three of them, you need a Mizbeach Avanim. So ask the Gemara, Masav Rav Acha Bar Ami, Eish Sheyorda Min HaShemayim B'Yimei Moshe, the fire that came down from Shemayim in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It says in Chumash, V'Teitzei Eish Milfnei Hashem, V'Tochel Mizbeach Sa'olah V'Sachalavim, V'Yar Kalam V'Yarunu V'Yupla Paneyam, that people couldn't believe it, that fire was coming down from Shemayim and was consuming that which was on the Mizbeach. A pasuk in Chumash that this way happened. So that Eish that came down B'Yimei Moshe, Lo Nistalka Me'al Mizbeach HaNechoshes, it never left the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. When they would travel in the Midbar, they would cover up the fire, and they would then cover with a beged, but the fire would continue to burn underneath the kli that they covered it up with. It was only during the days of Shlomo Melech, when they built the Mizbeach Avanim, that the Eish left the Mizbeach HaNechoshes and came down from Shemayim to the Mizbeach HaAvanim. So apparently all the way until the times of Shlomo, the fire continued to, the Eish min HaShemayim continued to burn on Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. And the fire that came down from heaven during the days of Shlomo Melech of the first Beis HaMikdash, Lo Nistalka Ad Sheba Menashe V'Silka. It didn't leave the Mizbeach until the wicked king Menashe came along and removed it. Menashe was the son of Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, and he was a Rasha. He did Ra Be'inei Hashem, the Pesukim describe in Sefer Melachim. So he destroyed the Mizbeach. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chafalv, tells us that even though Menashe removed it, it came back to the Mizbeach was there during Bayis Sheni and maybe even Besof Bayis Rishon, but it wasn't Revutza Ka'ari, it was like a Kelev, it wasn't as strong, it didn't really help out that much when the fire returned after Menashe got rid of it. But the bottom line is, V'im Isa, if Rav is correct that in Mishkan Shiloh they stopped using the Mizbeach HaNechoshes that they used in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu and they replaced it with the Mizbeach HaVanim, how could the Braisa say that the Eish that came down from Shemayim continually burnt on that Mizbeach until the days of Shlomo HaMelech? In Mishkan Shiloh it shouldn't have been there anymore, they switched Mizbechos. So says Mar Meikaru Hu De Istalikle. Beforehand, they could have Mishkan Shiloh. Meikaru De Istalikle. So this is part of the question. When they built the Mizbeach Havanim, so the Chara should have been gone already at that point. So Gemara gives two terutzim to this kasha. Number one, Hu Da Amar Krabi Nasan. That maybe that Rav, who says that the Mizbeach of Mishkan Shiloh was made out of Avanim, assumes like the sheet of Rabbi Nassan. Titan Rabbi Nassan Omer, Mizbeach Shel Shiloh Shel Nechoshes Haya Chalul Umale Avanim. That the Mizbeach of Shiloh was made of Nechoshes, but it was hollow on the inside, and it was full of stones on the inside. So you can't ask a Kashan Rav that Bryce's Mashmat, the Mizbeach of Shiloh, was the Mizbeach that they made in Moshe's time, which was not Shel Avanim, because Rabbi Nassan disagrees, and he holds that in Shiloh they made a brand new Mizbeach, and Rav holds that that's what they did. They made a brand new hollow Mizbeach Nechoshes that they filled with Avanim in Shiloh. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, a different teretz. My lo nistalka levatla. What does the Braisa mean when it says that the Eish that came down on on the Mizrach and the Choshes didn't abandon us until the days of Shlomo, it means it didn't leave entirely. They still used it until the days of Shlomo. That's all it means. Not that the Mizbeach was being used, but that the Esh that came down on that Mizbeach was still there, and the Esh was still providing some utility. Mahi, what sort of utility? If they weren't using that Mizbeach, what does it mean they were still using the Esh? So Rabbanan Amri, Shviva Hava Meshadra, that the Mizbeach and the Choshes would stand right next to the Mizbeach HaAvanim, and the Esh on the Mizbeach and the Choshes would shoot out some sparks to the Mizbeach HaAvanim, and that's where it would burn all the Evarim on the Emurim on the Mizbeach HaAvanim. So it wasn't the direct fire that had descended in HaShemayim that was burning the things on the Mizbeach HaAvanim. That fire was burning on the Mizbeach and the Choshes. When they would put things on the Mizbeach HaAvanim, sparks would come out and would go on to the Mizbeach HaAvanim and burn it there. It was a double miracle. Rav Papa Amar Ushpiza HaVenakat V'zimnen Hacha V'zimnen Hacha. No, the Eish was like a guest. It would sometimes stay here, sometimes stay there, sometimes it was on the Mizbeach HaAvanim, and sometimes on the Mizbeach and the Choshes, and they would burn things on both Mizbechos. They had two functioning Mizbechos. They had a Mizbeach and the Choshes and a Mizbeach HaAvanim, and sometimes they would burn on each one. So that's why there was still functionality to the Mizbeach and the Choshes. The Achronim have a whole fun time trying to figure out how exactly that worked. Were you allowed to take a single carbon and put some of the Emunim on one Mizbeach and some on the other Mizbeach? Right, what exactly were the halachos of that, of having two functioning Mizbechos simultaneously? Okay, but I'm sure they figured it out at the time. So now the Gemara discusses the dimensions of the Mizbeach. Tanan Hasam, Mishnah Maseches Midos tells us that in Bayis Rishon, the entire area that the Mizbeach took up was 28 Amos by 28 Amos. And then in Bayis Sheni, Kshalu Bnei Gola, when they came up from Gols Bavel, from Mikdash Sheni, and they rebuilt the Mizbeach, Hosifu Alav Arba Amos Min Adarom Va Arba Amos Min Amara. They added 4 Amos to the south and 4 Amos to the west. Kimin Gamma, like the Greek letter Gamma, meaning at a right angle. And the Shetach HaMizbeach now on the bottom was 32 Amos by 32 Amos, and it was 24 Amos by 24 Amos of the Ma'aracha. The Ma'aracha itself took up 24 by 24 Amos. The Mishnah Yisamidos explains how you get from the 32 to the 24, because you need the Makom of the Yisod, and the Sovev, and the Karnos, and the Makom Hiluch Raglei Kohanim. Okay, but the eligible area upon which to burn was 24 Amos by 24 Amos. So the point is they added 4 Amos on each side. Tosus is bothered by the Kasha. How could they add 4 Amos on each side? It sounds like there was a din, that there was no Yisod on two sides of the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach had to be dafka in the Chelek of Binyamin and not in the Chelek of Yehuda, and that's why they would do the Matnos Dam, dafka where there was a Yisod, not where there was no Yisod. But in the first bias, it sounded like they could have had a Yisod on all 4 sides, because they were nowhere near the border. They had a few Amos of leeway. So Tosus suggests that in a Chinami, Tosus has a few suggestions. One of them is that Eino Chinami, during the first place of Mikdash, there was a Yisod all the way around the Mizbeach. They had a Yisod all the way around the Mizbeach, and it's just that they knew, because of the Pasuk, was going to indicate that ultimately this wouldn't be able to happen. Ultimately, in the Bayis Sheni, they weren't going to be able to do this, so they knew not to do the Matnos Dam in those places. But anyway, my time, why did they have to add to the size of the Mizbeach? It simply wasn't big enough. They had to burn more things on the Mizbeach. They didn't have room anymore, so they had to expand it. Amle Abaye, Hashta Mikdash Rishon Dechsivbei. By the Mikdash Rishon, the Pasuk says in Sefer Malachim, Yehuda v'Yisrael Rabim Kachol Asher Alayam, that there were so many Jews like the sand by the sea, and the Sipek, and there was enough room for all the Karbanos that they brought. Mikdash Sheni Dechsivbei. In Mikdash Sheni, where Sefer Ezra tells us, Kol HaKol Ke'echad Arba Ribo, it says what? How many people were there? 140,000 people in all of Yerushalayim at the time of, in all of Eretz Yisrael, at the time of Mikdash Sheni, Lo Sipek, and they didn't have enough room for the Karbanos that such a tiny minority of the Jewish people were bringing at the time. Yeah, but people who come from Chutz Laretz also have to bring Karbanos. But still, if the Yeshuv was so small, how many people were actually coming and bringing Karbanos? It doesn't make sense that in Bayis Sheni they would dafka run out of room on the Mizbeach. So Amalei, Hasam Eishal Shemayim Mesayatan, Hacha Ein Eishal Shemayim Mesayatan. Unbelievable. In in Bayis Rishon, yeah, there was an enormous amount of people, but they also had a lot of help burning all the Karbanos on the Mizbeach, because the Eish that came in Hashemayim helped in the burning. In Bayis Sheni, there were fewer people, so it seems like, yeah, we should be able to handle this, we should be able to take care of burning these Karbanos. No, but without the Eish Min Hashemayim, they didn't have enough space. He also Ravin Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said in the name of Shimon ben Pazi, Mishubar Kapara, that the fact that they have a Mizbeach was Shisin Osifu. The reason that they had to add onto the Mizbeach was they had to build Shisin where they could pour the Yayin and the Mayim and Sukkis and the Yayin throughout the year through those Shisin of the Mizbeach. And in the Bayis Rishon, they didn't have Shisin. Why? Meikara Savar Mizbeach Adama, Shau Atum Va'adama, Ulbasov Savar Shisin. That initially they thought Mizbach Adama means that it has to be totally closed and there can't be any hollow area on the inside of the Mizbach, so they didn't have Shisin. Unbelievable. And in Bayis Sheni, they changed the Psak. They said, oh, we know what they did for 400 years, and we paskined that you're not allowed to have Shisin. We're changing the Psak. We're reinterpreting. You're allowed to have Shisin. Ay, umay Mizbech Adama. What did they do with the Pasuk Mizbech Adama? Shumachubur ba'adama. Shalo yivnu lo al gabi kipim. V'lo al gabi mechilos. All that means is that it's not supposed to be built over tunnels and hollow areas, but within the Mizbech itself, shtia ka'achila, just like things get consumed ba'achila sa'mizbech, the shtia sa'mizbech, things should get consumed in the Mizbech itself, and not be poured off to the side of the Mizbech. So it's an unbelievable statement about the Pesach Halacha that changed in the times of Bayis Sheni. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up on the top of Samach Be'ez HaMinah.